Heal me with your sweet, lovely ribbons. This is Core.
Welcome to Core, everybody, episode 42. That is the answer to life, the universe, and everything. I'm Scott Johnson with Bo Schwartz and John Jagger, and we're here to talk about Heroes of the Storm. More specifically, guys, might be fun at the top of the show to talk about heroes that we love but we never play. Now, this idea came from Bo, I think. Right, Bo?
Nope, that was John.
John? All right, John, I just want to direct this to the right...
We're going to need to start color coding.
Yeah, I want to direct it to the right person because I have a very specific pointed question to ask. Do you mean... heroes that we like as a hero, like let's say I'm really big on Thrall as far as characters go, but I don't like playing him. Is that what you're saying?
I think it can be kind of a bunch of things, and I probably have examples that apply to all of them, but I think at a base level you could take someone, I'll go ahead and give one right away. The first one I would say for me is Tyriel. And we kind of talked about this in a game that we played the other night where I said, man, Tyriel has been one of my favorite, most iconic Blizzard characters. He looks so cool. I think he's one of the coolest looking characters they've ever designed. And it's been that way for a really long time with him. I just never play him. Mm.
Do you actively not like playing him? Do you not like playing him, or is it just that you just haven't gotten around to it, or you haven't wrapped your head around his best play style, or what's the deal with him and you?
I'd say it's probably a little bit of both. I think initially when I started playing him, it just didn't click. His kit didn't really work for me. He got a big rework a patch or so ago, and I've heard really good things, and I'm really excited to try him out, but I just haven't gotten around to him yet. I've been enjoying the attack Muradin we keep talking about on the show, and that tends to get my vote when it comes to picking a tank, but I got to try Tyriel. I keep saying that to myself. So I guess the shorthand for this subject is the heroes we keep saying, man, I got to play more of, or man, I got to play that hero.
Yeah, I'm, you know what? Going to be totally with you on Tyriel. He's one of my favorite characters of all time in any Blizzard IP. And second character I bought, I think Vala was the first one I had. It came to me for free. And then the second character I paid for was Tyriel. Is also the first epic skin I paid for. He's the first guy I may have played my very first tank game ever with him, like not even a free rotation hero. So I have a lot of history in terms of my entry into Heroes of the Storm with him, but I never play him, like never play him, and I don't know why that is. So Bo is a guy who's played every character at least some, if not a ton, even the weird obscure stuff that all the rest of us think we hate. You've got to have one or two that makes you feel this way.
It was definitely Kerrigan up to a week ago. Kerrigan was the one I always wanted to bring into games, and people would call me noob in Hero League. When I play with you guys, you let me play with whatever, but even then I wouldn't take her that often. So it's been kind of nice to be able to live my dream and play Kerrigan.
All right. I'm this way. How about, so, okay, let's go back a little bit. Lenara used to be your favorite forest lady of all time.
You might say my bae.
Your
if
bae.
You like that word.
Your forest bae. Let's call her that.
My forest bae. Yep. Okay.
It seems like you don't play her anymore or nearly as much as you used to. Is it just she's in a weird place right now, or are you having that kind of relationship with her now? Like, you know, you decided to see other people.
I think what happens is once you play a lot of a character, you just don't want to play it anymore. And I think that happened with Lunara, where it's like, I still really like her, but I want to explore the other characters. There's constantly a new character in the game, too, to demand your attention. And it just feels like I can look through the list and think of like 20 that I wish I played more. But there's just so many heroes and so little time, even for me who plays daily. So I'd have to say right now, I kind of wish I played the Lost Vikings a little more.
Oh, yeah. John, you agree with that, right? You'd like him to play a little more Vikings? That'd be a thing to do?
Okay. I love when the Vikings are around. Actually, with the with the new meta, there's a lot of love to be had for a good Vikings player. So
yeah,
anybody that can actually successfully split the Vikings and do things in multiple lanes is going to do real good things for their team right now. So I'm all for it.
Yeah.
Well, I have a third place.
Oh, you do? Who's your third? Who's your third?
It's Chromie, who I love. I love Chromie to death. I just can't win games with her. Yeah. It's just forbidden for me to ever win a game. I even tried her twice in Hero League. I lose to her, and I win with her on my team, but when I play Chromie, we don't win. Yeah. So I'm sour on the Chromie.
Okay, so that brings up a big question in my own head. My number one character in the entire roster that I own that I feel like I don't play for the wrong reasons is Rexxar. And I don't play Rexxar because very early in Rexxar's iteration, he was loathed by the community. People were pissed about him. They didn't like how he was nothing without his bear. The bear acted funny and controlled weird. And there was all this negativity around him. Now, I know every time there's a new hero, there's always bitching and moaning. And I try to take that stuff with whatever grain of salt is available to me. But for whatever reason, his reputation as being kind of dead on arrival stuck with me. And I know that's not entirely true. You do see him here and there. You even see him pop up in a program once in a while, which is kind of freaky. But that's usually a rare instance. But even in regular play, I just don't see Rexxar or his dumb bear ever. And here's a character that I love this character. I think he's great. I love him in Hearthstone to the point that I almost only play Hunter because he's familiar to me. He feels right to me. I love him in the Warcraft lore. There's so much to say and like about Rexxar and his stupid pet bear. But when it comes to this game, I could not be less interested in playing him. And that's weird to me. And so part of me thinks it's because I have a bias that was established early and I've never shaken it. And this has happened with other characters and it has been shaken. I remember feeling this way about, oh gosh,
a little bit like that with Kael'thas, maybe.
Oh yeah, Kael'thas, Karazim. Yeah, Karazim, Kael'thas, and I'd even say to some degree, my girl Jaina. That's not cheesy to say that, is
your
it?
Girl.
Yeah,
that's a little cheesy. Get I line, don't know. Buddy. I will take a stand right here and now and say, in the last game we played where Scott played Jaina, I saw some really impressive stuff coming out of Jaina.
She is the bomb right now. I mean, I freaking love her right now, and I'll play her anytime, anywhere. Like, I'm all up in Jaina. But back in the phrasing
probably
is important.
Yeah, phrasing on that one.
But before she got great in my eyes, I was a little bit down on her because, again, I tend to take this feedback from the community that something's wrong with something, and I internalize it. And I feel bad that that's true. I remember when Diablo was kind of not getting played and nobody seemed to care about him. And then suddenly everybody was playing him. And in my head, I went, well, what was wrong with him then, Scott? What did you think was wrong with him? And I couldn't answer it. I just had this feeling that nobody liked him. Does that make me like a weird, like in real life, I'm pretty good at this. If I see a kid getting picked on or treated badly, I'll stick up for him. But in video game life, I'm like, I don't want anything to do with Diablo. Nobody likes him right now. It's weird.
I don't think it's weird. In fact, I'll give you an example that I've been dealing with recently to talk about another Blizzard franchise, World of Warcraft. Mm. Everybody just got real new shiny classes, and everybody's getting in and relearning their classes and what's their new rotation, what's their favorite spec, what talent should they be picking. And I fell into the trap of going to Icy Veins and saying, well, Icy Veins says this is what I want to pick. And I'm picking optimized for raiding talents for my non-raiding character in lieu of things that are way more fun that I would like a lot better. And it's one thing that you kind of have to remind yourself, look, this might not be viable for pros and in the competitive scene, but this is totally acceptable for me and what I want to do. In fact, sometimes it works out better because everybody gets so laser focused on this is what they're doing in competitive that they forget about 90% of the roster, and you bring in something that doesn't go with that, and all of a sudden everyone's thrown off their game. Like, Chen, we don't know what to do. Nobody plays Chen. Mm-hmm. How do we fight Chen? What is a Chen? And that's how everybody suddenly gets. So I think it's natural to do, but smart to avoid.
Yeah, it's just hard. All I'm saying is it's hard to do that. So, Bo, you have any tricks for how to avoid It's like discrimination, video game discrimination. How do you not do it?
Well, you gotta go with what's fun. At the end of the day, you probably don't have all the time to play all the heroes. So I think if you want to play the heroes you want to play, go to Unranked, go to Quick Match, and just play them. Who cares? Play them.
All right.
That's in competitive. Like, I've been spending a lot of time in the solo rank queue, and it's different. Whenever I've been taking Gul'dan because I just want to play him, not because he's necessarily the best pick. I lost those games, so I'm like, well, forget that. That's over.
That's not like you're not giving it a chance. Like, when everybody was naysaying Chromie, I remember you were like, well, whatever. I'm having really a lot of fun with her, and she's the best. You kept saying Chromie is the freaking best. She's the best. She's the best. And then slowly over time, you started to rack up a loss rate that was, I think, a pretty good statistical indicator to you that you were playing the wrong character. And
well, yeah.
And I know that's not always true. Sometimes it's like, you know, luck. Sometimes it's a million factors. But you're a guy who plays enough games at a high enough level to get a good feeling for when a character is not working, right? That's fair to say.
Right. So but there's also not working for me, because it could be that other people it works for them.
Well, that's entirely my point. Yeah. So you did that homework. You spent the time with the character to evaluate her effectiveness with you, and then you made a determination that it just wasn't working out, at least right now in the current state. What I do, and what I think a lot of players do, and what John was referring to, and the thing we have to sort of fight, I think, is this feeling of, well, if the community says this should be banned, this character should be banned every game that's ranked, or this thing should happen every time, or this character always sucks, or this character should never be on the same team as this other character, then you start getting into this boat of, like, sneezing really loud and then finishing your sentence, which is
we've all been there.
This idea that we've stopped having fun and we're so worried about who we're picking all the time, and I hate that. I hate that feeling of when I feel like that, and that's usually when I've come to love a character, is when I finally give that up and go, all right, so you don't like witch doctors in Diablo, but maybe you'll like him here. Turns out I love him here. Turns out he's the bomb here. He's my favorite specialist in the game. And I wouldn't have known that had I not gotten over my weird bias about characters and games. It's just a strange, like, subhuman. It's like another level to human bias that I wasn't expecting to have so intense in a game like Heroes. And I'm sure this is true in League. I'm sure this is true in Dota. Like, there's probably all sorts of, you know, player bias towards characters and roles and stuff that I'm not even aware of. But in this case, I really do feel it all the time. So play the ones you want to play. And look, if you don't find Tyrael fun, F it. Don't play Tyrael, I guess. But if you like Chromie, play Chromie. Unless you're Bo, who's figured out that Chromie is terrible in his hands.
Do you have a hero that you really like but just don't play because you can't ever win with them, it seems?
Yes. You guys will laugh because he wins other games all the time for everyone else. But I feel like every game I play with Kel'Thas, I lose. And I like him otherwise. But every time I play with him, I feel like I lose with him. And I feel like it's because I'm not good with him. And some may say, well, you're good with Jaina, what's the problem? I don't think they play the same at all. They play very differently. They have some similarities, and, you know, they're both mages and they're both are made of paper, and there's a lot of things you could say about them that are similar, but they play so differently that I don't think I am anywhere near a good Kel'Thas player. So I don't play him because I feel like I'm going to let everybody else down, either us or strangers even. So I'd like to play him more, and probably should, and F those guys, and who cares? But that one's hard for me.
I would say mine is Tassadar, and that's probably surprising considering I, for the length of this game, since it was in alpha, have been saying the Church of Tassadar, he's the main character, he's the best hero in the game.
Yeah.
But I just don't win games with him. I did way back. But I don't anymore. I don't win with him.
See, and that's funny, because I feel like I win more with Tassadar than I do with Kel'Thas, which is weird. Like, you said to me, hey, we need to win 10 games, you need to come up with 3 characters to split between those 10 games to win with, I'd go Jaina, Tassadar, probably Murd.
Do well on Morales.
And Morales, maybe. I might go Morales, but I would go with that group, and Tassadar would be one of them. But so what you're proving is it's just different for everybody, I guess. There's no one answer to this whole thing.
Everybody's going to have different strengths and weaknesses and characters that complement their play style versus others.
Yeah. Well, let's...
That's like me and Anubarak.
Yeah.
I just don't, I'm not too great with the Nubarak. Makes me sad because he's so powerful right now.
Well, he's a big bug. He's a big beetle, really. And, you know, he's the fifth beetle.
Yeah.
Let's talk
John
about
Paul, George, Ringo, and a Nubarak.
He needs to make a solo album now that they're all, you know, off doing their own thing.
Yeah, for the Frozen Throne.
Yeah. Let's talk about the New World Order, meaning who's hot right now. Because there's a, you know, listen, every time there's a sizable balance patch, not always, but sometimes the world gets turned on its head. The meta changes completely. The game kind of goes a little bit bonkers. And also, I don't feel like we get, you know, it'd be one thing if like on a Tuesday or Wednesday a patch dropped, and then on Thursday, the biggest pro game ever happened, and then we all saw the new meta happen before our eyes, and then we said, all right, great, this is what we're going to do. That's not how it works. It just sort of goes nuts, and then people are on forums and discussion boards and Reddit talking about what changes mean what, and suddenly there's a whole new meta. So let's just talk about the new world order. New Zagara. Yeah. New Zagara is pretty badass. She's got
so the results are in on Zagara. Yeah. She is a pain in your Zagara. All right. She's a pain in your creep tumor.
Is that is that Zerg for vagina? Because I'm with you.
I don't know.
It probably is.
Okay. So New Zagara, she's unkillable. Like, she is killable, but realistically, she throws down so much spam now. She's a super big, high priority pick. I'm seeing her all the time in Hero League.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've had a chance to play against her in any capacity, but it can be extremely demoralizing to play against her. Even if she takes the Devouring Maw route, just like before, it's now fixed. And it seems like she can sustain and do a ton of damage, even more than before. She's not top pick ban, but she's top specialist, I would say. Up there with Zul. Mm. Although all the lane clear specialists have like received a bump in power thanks to the minions increasing strength, but Zagara in particular is extremely formidable. So
she's rough, yeah. And there's nothing more discouraging than, oh, there she is, she's overextended, let's get her. You and a buddy or two drop in on her, and then off she scuttles away super fast, not dead, and you're taking a ton of damage because she dropped everything on top of you. It's rough.
Yeah.
Dealing with her.
Is anyone talking about a good answer to her, or are we just waiting for a nerf?
There isn't, I can't really think of a good answer to her other than coordinated play. Like, there isn't, I know when I play Chen, I can hold my own in lane against her. It was just kind of a trick that I figured out before her upgrade. Chen has more of a hard time dealing with her. That's in laning. Mm. And just other specialists can counter push her. But for the team fight impact, you've really got to focus her down. If she's playing it right, she's in the back line, and your team's going to make their front line is going to make it hard for you to get back there. So
what changes did she get that made her so great? Is it her new little poo checker thing that she does, the roly poly deal? What's it called?
Oh yeah. There's the new the banelings, right?
The
baneling chicklings or whatever. Yeah. Roachling drop or something like that.
Yeah.
That is, for some reason, way easier to shoot. It just feels like it does. There's a talent where you can stack its damage and increase its size, like a questing talent. And that ability always felt kind of trashy on her. And now it's like a real important part of her DPS. It's really, really good. And it's just kind of a feel thing. Like, it's sort of hard. There's nothing obvious about it. That's like, oh, it's different. But it feels more responsive. And it's called Infested Drop. I make one of those every day. Boom!
Hey! Hey-o! So when she drops, as she drops it right now, there's an impact damage, like a splash damage that happens, direct or indirect. And then there's the roachlings after hanging around doing damage. The new talents let her expand the size of that initial impact. Am I understanding that right?
Okay. Yeah. So you can every time you hit a hero, you can increase its damage, and then when it gets plus 150% damage, you increase the size of the impact.
Oh wow!
So it's super formidable. Hunter Killer is also just as amazing as it ever was, but you got Life Steal now. I think at level 13, you can spec it for when it does damage, it just self heals. She's ridiculous right now. Yeah. And she's got Maw, which is super, still impactful. They reduced the cooldown to 100 seconds. I think it was at 120. I used it today. I played a game. We were versus an ETC, and literally every time he moshed, I just mod her. I wasn't waiting for epic, like, you know, super mod. Just like, oh, no, I'm modding you. And then, you know, we won that game. Like, it was just absurd. And they had a Zero Tool who couldn't deal with me. And Li Ming struggles against her so much. She throws down so many roadblocks for the orbs and the missiles to soak up.
Yeah.
That Li Ming has taken a hit in power. I can't win a game with Li Ming since the patch. And part of that is because of Zebras and the prevalence of Nazebo and Zagara in particular, who can just put a roadblock up in front of you on a character like that.
Have you seen the bans increase in your play in Hero League for Zagara? She's sitting out the matches more often?
At first it was really high. It's been reduced somewhat thanks to another character that we're going to talk about in New World Order. Kerrigan.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Boss.
Oh, my lord. So,
the boss.
And I just say this
He's
about
the
Kerrigan.
Boss of heroes.
Last games that we played together, you were doing things with Kerrigan that almost made me feel sad for the other person.
Yeah, they seemed like cheating. There were times where I called retreat, and Bo was like, no, I'm going to go in. And it's, you can't do that. You're going to die. And everything about every bit of the hero's player in me said Bo was going into a no-win situation.
Yeah,
and then I go back to help him, and he's at full health, full shields, just killing people. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous what Kerrigan can do.
Yeah, she's crazy good.
He's the first top ban. Top ban,
easily like, top ban. She's also got the top win rate for the last 7 days and global hot slogs data, which is pretty impressive.
And if you look at her popularity, I believe she's up there. She's fourth most popular through all levels.
Jeez.
But she's picked and banned nearly every, like, three quarters of the games that are play in Hero League are she's in there. And it's not like, oh, they piddle down. It's like probably that 25% of people that don't pay attention to the meta have no clue what's going on, because she is first. If you have a choice between Kael'thas and a Kerrigan ban, you pick the Kerrigan ban.
Yeah, think of
in
that.
In a world we've lived in where it's only ever been never get to play Kael'thas, I actually have a shot at playing Kael'thas and playing some Kael'thas.
Do you remember when we all thought, or at least I thought, that Gul'dan was the answer to the Kael'thas problem, that maybe this magic dealing warlock mage was going to come in and be the guy that shook up the three-way ban between Meiling or Laiming Laiming
Meiling.
Did you just call her Laiming?
I called her Laiming. Yeah, Laiming. Exactly.
That's the guy.
But you always had those two that were knocked out early, and now I thought, "Oh, here comes Gul'dan, going to shake that up." No, it turns out someone we already had was ready to do that, and she's freaking melee. Here's the other thing about her. Speaking of our topic at the top of the show, I remember when nobody gave a shit about Kerrigan. She was like the ugly stepchild. Nobody wanted her. Nobody wanted to even buy her when she was on sale. She was super cheap for a long time. She's kind of boring looking. She's just kind of a naked bug the whole time. Her skins are okay. Like, it's just kind of a lame use of a very important character. You know, the Arthas treatment is how I felt like she was getting. I felt like she was the female StarCraft Arthas problem, where people are just bored with it. It's old, it's lame, it's an early character, not that much fun, not really in the meta. And then out of nowhere, boom, she's top of everyone's everything all the time. That's really surprising to me.
And the big thing, and this is sort of the word on the street, on the Nexus streets, is, you know, tuning up her damage means tuning up her shields. Like, her trait, any damage she causes gives her shields.
Yeah.
Right? So the more damage you give her, the more shields she gets, which is what contributes to her OP-ness.
Yeah, her OP-ness. Mm-hmm.
Please tell me more.
OP-ness.
Penis. Or no, sorry, OP-ness. All right, so there she is, doing her thing, killing it. Nazebo also doing well. Second top win rate in 7 days, global hotslog data. That's pretty strong. Love me some Nazebo. And again, like you said before, a good alternative if Zagara gets banned, or the other way around. Those two are probably good at helping. You know, I
you
feel
play
like
a lot of Nazebo.
I love Nazebo.
You know, look, last week I know we talked about no one likes the Toads of Hugeness build, but I've been seeing a lot of Toads of Hugeness.
Yeah,
there's something about those giant frogs blowing up on everything that just gets players going. They love it.
I'd like to take
also
credit.
Bugged, I believe.
Oh, was it?
It does a ton of damage.
I could be wrong, but I believe that was part of either this last bug fix or something being fixed in the patch tomorrow. But I believe there was an issue with the Toads of Hugeness.
Well, I like to think that I brought back the popularity of the Toads of Hugeness because nobody was using it. And then suddenly I'm like, you know what? I like big fat toads that cause tons of damage. And they're great in team fights. They're great in siege. They're great wherever you freaking need a Toad of Hugeness. Nazebo's got you covered, man. And even if there was some bug and it got nerfed, don't care. Huge toads, dude. That's how you play that guy. You hit level, what is it, 16? Yeah. 16? No. No, that's bugs chasing you.
That's 7.
7. Yeah,
16. 13.
13. Yeah, I knew it was close to that. So yeah. You get Toads of Hugeness at 13. 16, you get bugs that jump. Holy shit. You have the greatest shaky man in the history of the game.
Wait, because I've been taking the ones where the exploding toads produce bugs.
Yeah,
I just kind of like the idea that the frogs are still being jerks,
or that they've
I don't know if it's good or not.
They've got implanted bug embryos in them. It's just kind of gross.
Yeah,
I just found it. The Toads of Hugeness talent no longer causes Plague of Toads to deal more damage than intended.
Well, then poo on them because that was pretty good.
So
while it worked,
you can enjoy it until tomorrow.
Oh, all right. So it's still there.
Still there right now.
All right. Zul got, let's see, Zul, you say you saw a guy on a 10-win Zul streak in Hero League. That's crazy.
Yeah. That's a lot. So the other thing was just, it's the power of wave clear. So it's not like you can't solo split push a lane and not expect to get ganked or anything. But when you have the opportunity to just visit a lane and clear a minion wave, it's really powerful, and if you can clear two and push that lane in, it's huge. And this Zul was, you know, a lot of the specialists right now don't play in a lane. They play in two. They rotate and let the rest of the team do stuff. They don't just settle themselves on one lane. And Zul in particular, because of the extra minions he creates when he kills, he puts a pretty strong minion wave against the enemy forts. So he's right. All those specialists, Zagara, Nazebo, Zul, are right up there. Performing really well because of the upgrade to minion damage.
Let's see. Jaina, Greymane, Arthas, Rexxar, Lost Vikings. They're all around 52% win rates in solo queue.
Hero League, so that is. These are all characters that are performing strong. Like, again, these aren't characters that were, with the exception of Greymane, not characters you're seeing, you know, on the tops. You're seeing things like maybe Murden or ETC or, you know, Kael'thas even and Li Ming, they're not as high as these characters. Mm-hmm. The specialists have really, you know, taken over in a very strong way.
Gul'dan Shower. Let's talk about that for just a second. no pun intended. So Gul'dan Shower of Death, or whatever the hell it's called. What's it called?
Shower. Or Rain of Disappointment.
Rain of Disappointment. Rain of Destruction. That build has the lowest win rate, or he has the lowest win rate, period.
He has the lowest win rate, and that's sad. You
this know, is just like new character disease, though, isn't it? Like, they all do this, I feel like, the first couple of weeks, don't they?
I don't know, man. Medivh is still in the dumps, and Chromie is not at a positive win rate yet. Yeah. I think this run of mages might be... I mean, look, the mages that we've had in the game for a while have been considered powerful. It wouldn't surprise me to be like, we don't want every mage to sit at that high level. We'd like every mage to sit at this low level, and then let's look at reigning in the ones that are too powerful. Like Jaina right now is she's performing really well. Those changes that she made to her have created a lot of whoa. There's a motorcycle. Yeah. There's a motorcycle gang outside my house. For the audio listeners, you know, there's about 100 motorcycles outside of my house. The Hell's Angels are in town.
Yeah,
and they decided to park right in front of my apartment for some reason.
Yeah,
I don't owe them any money. They insist that I do, but I don't. No, just kidding.
Well, here's every time they make noise. There you go. We'll play that. It's not supposed to play. Sorry.
And then the X-Files will happen.
The crap. That wasn't supposed to happen.
Oh, Illuminati confirmed. All right.
Anyways,
the mages are kind of poopsville, the new ones. And yes, we still need time to figure out if that's just us and not them. But I think more along the lines of Jaina's unintentionally stronger than she should be, and she'll get reined in.
I think a lot of it comes down to what we kind of talked about last week, which was this notion of people tend to be drawn to the easier to play characters. And I think it is far easier to play Kael'thas and succeed with him than it is to play as Gul'dan and succeed with him. Now, I will also say that they fulfill different roles. Gul'dan is not a burst damage character with the way he's currently built. He is definitely sustained damage. But again, we kind of have to ask ourselves, okay, why are we picking this hero? And is the challenge to perform well with that hero greater than if I pick a hero that's easier to play? Will I do better there? And I think it's really hard to say, oh yeah, I want Gul'dan over Jaina over Kael'thas.
Yeah. And I just, our expectations have to be reined in on what we expect from a brand new mage. Like, we hear about a new mage, and yes, I know Gul'dan's a, you know, he's a warlock and medivh. He's a mage, but he's a, you know, it's a different kind of mage. He's also a specialist and all this stuff. But we just mean in general, whenever, like, the archetype of big damage dealing magic dude comes into the game, we have to dial back our expectations that they're all going to be Kael'thas, Li Ming, and Jaina every time. Like you were saying, Bo, I think that's dangerous territory because it just sets up this expectation that, ooh, finally we're getting another mage. Wonder if this one will really shake things up or whatever. And they don't necessarily need to. It is weird to have a spate of three in a row that are generally considered kind of in the dumpster. You know what I mean? I would have liked it if they weren't quite so low on the win rates.
Two of them are highly specialized in very weird ways. One of them looks like a Jaina and Kael'thas. He's got like lots of big damagey stuff. Looks like it in an area. Maybe it just needs to be tweaked up and he'll be part of that triumvirate. Or not triumvirate. It'll be a, what's a three or four umvirate?
Quad umvirate.
Because Li Ming's in there too. Quad umvirate.
There you go. A quadrology.
Four dudes.
There you go. Well, two ladies, two dudes, one cup. All right, moving on.
A double date of characters.
Yeah, Chen's still a butthole, right? He's still living forever and never dying and kind of driving everyone crazy and talking crazy talk and, you know, being the weird uncle that Lili didn't know she wanted, right? That's going on still.
Yeah, like, I've been playing him a lot and I've been seeing him a lot. Mind you, with this patch, I've been performing less well with him, I would say. I'm not sure what special sauce is in there, so hopefully the upcoming changes help fix some of that. But mostly, it's really fun to see him. He's my favorite warrior to play, and he is seeing a lot of play and a positive win rate. Again, his win rates are higher than some, you know, than Arthas, I believe, and more recently, less so. But he's like top three, you know, tank character, and there are a lot of warriors, so. He's doing real well. I'd recommend giving him a whirl. And the one other thing that we need to know about this new world order that I learned this week and I want to talk about. You guys ready for this?
Yeah, no, hold on. Let me sit. Okay. Let me get in a nice... Okay, go.
Yeah. I learned that tanks and supports are the real carries in this game.
Whoa, hold on. Back up. The real... Everyone write this down. In 2016, Bo Schwartz said... The real carries in the Heroes of the Storm are tanks and supports. Explain yourself, sir.
Look, I don't feel like I'm the first to say this, but it's most recently dawned on me in my experience.
I believed it all along. As the tank, I knew.
You always knew, didn't you? You always knew. All right.
Healthy ego is part of a balanced breakfast. MOBAs come from a tradition. There's a lot of metas in a lot of the games. You know, you hear this term AD carry. I want to be the carry. Get carried. I'm the guy that shoots. Specifically, it's the auto attack guys. Why? They don't expend mana and cooldowns to do their damage consistently. So in individual leveling, you want to snowball the guy with that power. Because if he's the one that has a higher level than the other characters, he does more damage without consistent cooldowns or mana or any kind of restraints. Just keeps going. That's why they call him the attack damage carry or AD carry. A lot of people bring that philosophy into this game where they play a damage dealer, and when you win the game, some jerks are like, get carried, noobs, because he did so well shooting his living bombs on people. Mm-hmm. But the more and more I play this game, I realize that because of team experience, there's no carry in that capacity. You cannot build, you cannot snowball anybody. You can only snowball your team. That requires coordinated effort on the part of everyone to soak lanes, to secure kills when appropriate. And so the people that are making the biggest difference are supports and tanks. Now, why do I say this? Well, I have evidence. I went on a giant losing streak. I went from Diamond 4 to freaking Platinum 3. Wow. And you know what I did? I played a lot of assassins and a lot of specialists on my slide down. And a part of it was there was a growing sense of frustration that when you get into a lot of Hero League games, and there are people listening here who play at those levels who go in and say things like, I only play assassin. They'll only play tank or support if they're the last picks on the roster. And I include myself in that category.
Sure.
What happens is those guys suck at supporting and they suck at tanking. I'm sorry to say, but we had a game where, you know, Lili, the one thing we want you to do is cleanse people with Chromie's temporal loop. Didn't do it once. Mm. Now, I'm not going to say that person's bad, but clearly that person didn't have that ability to be competitive to do the thing that we wanted it to do. And she's like, oh, I keep missing. I'm not great with this. So the biggest opportunity creators and difference makers are the tanks and supports. They're the ones that are going to carry your game. Based on the skill level, everyone wants to play assassins. Everyone wants to shoot things. There are a lot of people that are good at it. But when the majority of the people want to do that thing and don't want to do the things that help win the game, they're not the people carrying. Like, yes, they have to do their damage, but they're not carrying. They just have to show up, take off their pants, and whatever. I don't know what this analogy is going. But that's all they're there to do. They're not there to do any brain stuff.
Right.
They're not there to do any strategizing. They just need to be in the vicinity of where stuff's going down and then shoot their things.
Yeah.
So the people that are really the difference makers in a match are the supports. And what happened was I lost. I went 1-6. I got fed up. I played Rhaegar and won. And I played Rhaegar again and won. And I went on a 5-win streak at the end of the day, counting my games today. I played Rhaegar again. I started just playing support. And all of a sudden, like magic, I'm winning every game.
That's
because
great.
Nobody wants to play support. So I'm going to be like, you know what? I'm going to play support and I'm going to love it. I'm just going to go all in on it and save Ancestral these noobs to death. Mm-hmm. Or to living, to full living. and it worked.
Yeah.
And I realized that my play was better than the average support player that I saw I got teamed up with who just run around and very not participate. And you notice this with tanks too. Nothing worse than a tank that just lanes and doesn't pay attention, doesn't have any plans, and doesn't take a leadership role. Mm. So if you want to be a badass in Heroes, and this is the end of my sermon, all right?
Okay.
Play tank, play warriors, play tanks, play supports.
Do you ever want to be? But do you get the proper credit? That's the big concern here that players are going to have, because it feels like a bit like you're on a, I don't know, let's use basketball as your example. Mm-hmm. Centers and good defense plays matter way more than fancy dunks and crazy offense. They sure. win games, but they don't get the recognition that the hot dogs get for the fancy dunks and the amazing offensive plays. And they still need to score, but they're a lot like DPS in this game. And the defenders, or how well someone defends in basketball, because often they're the same person, but that always gets under-reported. It's true in football. It's true in all sports, really. So I guess what I'm saying is, does this game ever stand a chance of those people feeling like they're getting the proper recognition they deserve?
Probably not, because the people doing the fancy stuff are the ones that get the recognition. The issue is, when you actually play the game as much as I do, you realize that, yes, it's hard to be good with assassins, but once you are at a certain level of ability with them, the gap between the really good ones and the okay ones is very small. In comparison to, it's really hard to be a good tank, and that skill gap between someone who's okay at it and someone who's really good at it is vast. Like, that gulf is bigger on supports and tanks than it is on assassins, because there are a lot of easy assassins to play. I'm Rainer. I show up. I have two buttons. One's move, one's shoot. I shoot. Like, you know, it's not to denigrate anyone who plays assassins. This isn't an anti-assassin rant. In the zeitgeist of this community, there are a lot of people who run into who say, I'm assassin only. I play assassins. I excel in assassins. And because I have a podium and I'm using it, a lot of people can play assassins. Play other things if you really want to impress people, and if you want to impress people.
John, you already agree with all this, right? This is something you've preached this long and hard on the warrior side. You've never felt.
Oh yeah,
different. Yeah.
I've always felt very strong that if you can have the best team of assassins in the world, but if you have a warrior that won't present opportunity for those assassins, your team's probably not going to win. The trick is having good warriors and having somebody that's going to do it right. And Bo's absolutely 100% correct. You do not get good warriors when you tell somebody, hey, I know you had your heart set on such and such assassin. Now you got to play the warrior. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead and do it. You're going to get a subpar warrior and you're not going to have a very good game probably.
Yeah, and nobody wants that in the end.
I have if we're done with this, I have a story that needs to be told.
Oh yeah. Kick the soapbox out from under Bo's feet and you stand on it now.
Well, while we're talking about Bo and drafting, I have to tell my favorite drafting story that's ever happened in this entire game.
I was there for this. All right, go for it. This is great.
This is so much fun. So just to share a funny experience that didn't get streamed or anything like that, Scott, Bo, and I were all playing. We were having fun, having a good time. We were in unranked draft, and Bo is the banner for our team. Yeah. He's got a higher MMR than all of us.
Mr. Banner to you.
Yeah, Mr. Banner. David Banner. Yeah.
Well, Mr. Banner got a little distracted doing other things while we were playing in one of our games. I believe it was the second round of bans. Is that
probably
right?
Probably Twitter.
Yeah, and it was the second round. That is correct.
So we get down and there's like 10 seconds left for him to ban. And he jumps back in because we said, hey, who are you going to ban? Or said something to jar him out of Twitter or whatever he was doing. And he goes, oh, and he selects ETC. And he's about to hit it. And I said, Bo, they have two tanks picked already. I don't think we should ban ETC. So in a panic, now he switches to his next choice. And he bans Morales.
With like a second left.
Yeah, with almost no time left, which is what our support was showing they wanted to choose.
And they were next. They were totally going to be next. It was so funny.
He made this poor support that we didn't know, who wasn't on comms with us, change which support they were playing.
Didn't we end up winning, though? We won that game, I think.
We did, and that support was a killer Brightwing, and I'm actually super glad that Bo made him change. But it was the funniest thing to see him go from, all right, I'm going to ban a tank. They already have two tanks. They're probably not going to take a third. Okay, ban the guy the person on our team wants.
It was pretty good. And to Bo's credit, I don't want that job. So I'm glad you did it and it wasn't me.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be that guy. And I never will be, because your MMR will ever be higher than mine. So it's fine.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll never say never.
Never. Let's talk about some quick news that is relatively recent. Ariel's talents have been revealed. She's a mermaid. She wants to have legs, though, and live with a prince. Oh, I've got the wrong Ariel. I'm sorry. This is the one from this is a pretty bad joke. I should stop now. This is the one from Diablo. She's the big healer lady that we've been expecting. She's got the following things. Bestow hope is her trait. And the way it works is you bestow an allied hero with hope while they remain near you. Damage they deal causes you to gain energy. You can have, you can only have one bestow hope on one ally at a time. 40% of the damage they deal to heroes and 8% dealt to non-heroes is stored as energy. What does Bo, she use that energy for? Do we know?
Let's recover all the energy immediately.
Megabad. Is it expendable?
Resource that she's going to use for her heals.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah, you'll see that coming up on the next ability.
All right, Sacred Sweep, which is a great name for anything, really. Sweep the area with sacred power, dealing 80 damage to enemies, and an additional 160 to enemies caught in the center of it, which is interesting. If you've seen the video, the kind of preview video thing they showed the one time, you saw her do this. How you determine center, I don't know. I guess it's just sort of, I guess you're eyeballing it. Maybe there's an indicator.
I think it's like there's like a half circle, and then there's a line in the middle of where you aim it. A straight line from you. Okay. Yeah, I think that's how it's going to work.
That looks like fun. Ray of Heaven is W. She consumes your stored energy. That's the stored energy of her, that is. Not you, but her. And heal ally heroes in the area for amount of energy consumed. For the amount of energy consumed. Now, here's the question about that. Is the only way to consume it is to bestow the hope, or not consume it, to build it up, is to have the consume or the bestow hope thing happening? And if you don't, you're not going to have it. It's not like mana that's always recharging or that you can go get at a fountain. You got to use this energy, and the only way to get it is you got to give hope, right?
Yeah, this is a Dahaka-style thingamajiggy that you have to do to get your heals. Like, I wonder if you don't have any energy that you don't get any heals.
Yeah, I worry about that. Just a tiny, tiny bit. And and you start with none, right? You got to build up from zero with an ally. I don't know. We need to see this in action, but this concerns me a little bit. It feels a little micro to me.
It's like you have no hope and you need someone to bestow hope on you.
We have no hope.
Because I'm really interested in her as a healer, but I don't want some finagly weirdo healer thing to do. And so far, this sounds a little finagly, but whatever.
You got to keep in mind, you're probably going to be putting that bestow hope on people a lot. So you're going to have a pretty constant generator for hope, in theory. This is a lot of speculation because we have these abilities from the website and confirmed by Blizzard, but we haven't gotten to player yet. So we haven't been able to see how it's all ultimately going to work. But I would imagine you're going to be getting at least a decent amount fairly regularly. And I would imagine that I think it'll probably work out. I think you'll probably be okay.
Okay. All right. I'm not going to worry.
I mean, unless you're constantly spamming Ray of Heaven.
Yeah.
The one thing I want to mention that is cool about Ray of Heaven is that heal allied heroes in the area. This is an area heal. Mm. I don't think there are many. Uther, in theory, has one, I think, on the W, where he shoots a little wave of light. I think it's even called that. There aren't many, like, area-ish kind of heals.
Kerosene's an area, but it's a real tight area. So this is a broader area, we assume?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know, but I think it's targetable. Like with Kerosene, you have to be in the center of the fart. This one, this fart is displaced from heaven. and so, I mean, I don't know if it's going to be fart-like. Yeah. It may not be. We'll have to wait and see how it feels.
In theory, these are Imperius farts because they're coming from heaven. Yeah,
kind of. Oh, my God. I want Imperius in this game so bad.
Oh, He's the best Diablo character. He is so cool. I want him bad. I don't care what role he has. I will play Imperius. All right. I'm not saying I'm not going to use her. I'm just saying this is all a little bit weird without actually seeing her in play. I can't wait for their little video with the guy who sounds like he's talking about a Mountain Dew. That guy. You know the one I'm talking about. Whenever he comes on, I love that guy. Anyway, Ray of Heaven. That's that. Detainment Strike. This is when I was held against my will and I decided not to eat or drink. No, that's not it. This is E. Deal 100 damage to the first enemy hero hit and knock them back. If they collide with terrain, they are also stunned for 1.25 seconds and take up an additional 100 damage. Doesn't say here whether terrain also counts as like a zombie wall or some other temporary thing pooped up by somebody.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
That's a really good
I wonder about that.
I would know that because it's also important for Diablo. It works a lot like his charge, but yeah. I don't. No, I've never thought about it before.
Yeah, well, look at me bringing up the things we never think about. It's amazing. Sometimes, once in a while, I get one right.
I'll have to test it.
That's her E, and that seems interesting. It's a crowd control kind of thing. Crystal Aegis. Aegis. Okay, sure. This is her first choice for heroic. This is place an allied hero into stasis for 2 seconds. Upon expiration, Crystal Aegis deals 270 damage to all nearby enemies. In effect, turning it into a time bomb. Kind of interesting, I think. Although, I think this other one sounds more interesting and also kind of confirms the rumors we've been throwing around on the show that we would probably get some sort of resurrect. And indeed, the second heroic choice is resurrect. You channel on the spirit of a dead ally for 3 seconds, bringing them back to life with only 50% of their maximum health at the location where they died. So you're not bringing them back to where you were. They're not getting full health. They don't say what mana situation is, so we don't know what that is. I assume 50 there too. I don't know. Actually, I don't know. There's no reason to even assume that. Who knows?
The big thing here is channeling. Mm-hmm. Like, picture a 5v5.
Yeah.
You're fighting in an area. One of your guys goes down first.
Yep.
That's a disengage. You're not gonna be able to sit around for 3 seconds channeling unless the range is really long and your teammates can protect it, or unless the match is still kind of 50-50 in terms of who's going to win it.
Yeah.
I don't know like how that's going to feel. That feels like a tall order to pull off a 3-second channel that I think your enemy team's going to be alerted, similar to how mind control works on Sylvanas. I think there's going to be a song, a choir. Oh! And you're going to go, oh, kill the Oriole.
This also doesn't seem like a big payoff for the cost either. When you consider Rhaegar's Ancestral you have a slight delay and then bring them back to full health. I mean, you basically use it as a skill shot res to some degree, and they typically get almost their entire health bar back for it. Here, you've got a channel for 3 seconds, and then they come back with 50%. That it just doesn't seem like a great investment, and I'm not entirely sure this is going to ultimately be the best ultimate for that reason.
I totally agree.
To see what talents do as well.
Yeah. Talents might change things, but I totally agree. And we said on this show, if there is truly a resurrection spell coming to this game, and in the form specifically of an ultimate like this, that it would have roadblocks to success. In other words, you can't just have it be an easy thing to pull off or a complete game changer by rezzing a bunch of people in an area, which is what my first thought was. Or even in this case where it's just one, it can't be an instacast. It has to be something with, you know, detriment to it. The question is this too much detriment? And I think, John, maybe you're right. Like, I 3 seconds is a lifetime in this game. That is a long-ass time. Nothing else really lasts that long. Even Karazim's Funky Touch, or whatever it's called, when he heals you with his ultimate, has a time thing attached to it. And that's shorter than this. In fact, I don't know of too many. Like, what ultimate is this long? Maybe Mosh Pit, like lengthwise,
like the channel time, you mean?
Yeah, for channel time.
Pyroblast.
Oh, yeah.
The thing that's great about Pyroblast is that it's forgiving on range.
Yeah.
Like, you want to cast that from pretty far away, not in the middle of a fight unless it's a desperation move. So that's why I say if the range is generous, this will be fine. But if it isn't, like, I think. Mind control actually doesn't have that generous of a range. How many times have you mind controlled someone, had the enemy team blow you up because you're just sitting there going, singing Lament to the Highborn
all the time? The only one I had, the only one that's kind of rangy like that that I have a lot of luck with is Nazebo's thing, whatever it is,
Ravenous
Spirit. Yeah. That thing is kind of the same problem. You have to channel it, you have to stay there, you can't move, but there's, I don't know, there's opportunity use for that that makes sense. Like, we're all here, I'm behind the line a little bit, I'm popping that thing in the middle of all their little melee fight, they don't see me coming, uh-oh, get away from the Ravenous Spirit. This is different. Somebody goes down, you're not a full team anymore. The other team needs to be, like you said, cognizant of the player being down and how important it is to get them back up. Know that this healer is planning on doing that. If you're in a rando, you can't really know that. And then protect them for 3 seconds in order to pull it off and somehow get the other guy with his 50% life back. Do you have another healer on the team? Like, there's a lot of questions about this.
Like, the best case scenario mentality is like, oh, someone goes down, but the rest of my team is at full health. So let me stop doing healing duty and whatever else I'm doing to sit there for 3 seconds and do nothing to bring this guy back.
Yeah.
Like, what impact does that have? And I'm with John when he says, well, just fill someone up with Rhaegar. The party doesn't stop. And that's proven to be very formidable. So this seems like just on paper strictly worse.
Depending
on talents, maybe better, but I don't.
I'm also curious how long you have after their death to cast it. So that's another question we don't know. We don't know how long you have, so it could be if they have a minute death timer and the fight's over, you've already done your fall back, but they've gone up to another lane. And, okay, four of us got out, but a fifth didn't. All right, well, the healer's going to real quick run down there and res and knock, you know, 45 seconds off a res timer by going down there and doing that. That could be useful, but, I it's got to go up against another ultimate, and the other one sounds pretty good. It doesn't say if it actually heals them, which I know in the leak that was something that they said about it was while you were in that stasis, you got healed. But I don't see that in the notes, so I don't think that's what it does.
The other thing depends on the cooldown time, too. Right. Because like, if you've got an Abathur on your team that gets hunted by a Zeratul and he's got to go through a 50-second cooldown, then yes, you can go and res them. And if your cooldown is real low, then your opportunity cost for using it in those case scenarios where you're doing a siege comp versus team fight comp, that may see some, may be leveraged there.
Let me stick a Johnson in your donut, okay?
Whoa.
Everyone.
I typically don't let people do that, but sure. All right. In this case, let's go ahead and do it.
Not until after midnight.
I need you both to consent before I do it. All right. So here's what I'm thinking, and it just occurred to me. One of the things this game supports unless you're Schmerich Schman Schmeichmach with an old computer.
you're it, being a crystal ages.
Is it's a it's that the game features a really pretty cool ragdoll physics system, and when let's say Artanis dies, often depending on how he died and who killed him, you go flying off in some direction, your body, right. I mean, and it may skid to a stop right before the tower's on the other end of the map. The desire to resurrect that piece of limp meat is not nearly as enticing as it would if your body stayed stationary where the actual kill took place. So I'm just going to say either that's dumb and they shouldn't do that, or she should see, like some characters see things on the screen that others don't. It's like Reaper in Heroes of the, or in Overwatch. He can see a death globe when you die so he can get it and heal. Nobody else sees those. Same thing applies here. Somebody, or it's like, you know, blood for the blood drippy things, the meat for freaking fresh meat. It's like that. So there should be, what I'm hoping is there'll be some like little glowy spirit ball left at the point of death impact.
Yeah, it says channel in the spirit of a dead ally. So you're on point there that there's going to be little spirits, ghosts that only you can see.
Okay.
I hope it's just the frowny face emoji. That's what I'd like. Just floating there, just the big sad face.
At least in testing, internal testing, they should use it that way. Yeah. I officially now withdraw the Johnson from the donut and we move on. Balance patch, July 27th coming. Minor tweakage. Actually, when is this? Tomorrow? No. What day is it?
It's tomorrow.
Tomorrow. That's right. Wednesday. 27th, 2016, that's tomorrow. Minor tweaks to several heroes. Artanis got buffed because he asked, and apparently that's all it takes. They made a big joke about this in the patch notes. What is Artanis getting, John? You're the big Artanis guy. What's happening with him?
Not a lot. He's getting a little more health, and they're also changing one of his talents, where if you hit somebody with the phase prism, it slows them for more now. I never take that talent, which is probably why it's getting buffed, because probably nobody does, but they're just a couple little buffs. Mm-hmm. More health is going to be really, really nice for Artanis because he's already unkillable. But it works really well. But buffing his health is actually a nice way to buff Artanis because his trait doesn't start kicking in until he's below half health. Mm. So buffing his base health kind of allows him to do more in the early game and be less reliant on his trait, but this also has the potential to snowball, because if he's getting healed up during that time, it just buys more time for that cooldown on the D to recycle and apply again, which is what makes him so out of control in the late game. So, as they said, Artanis is a pretty chill guy. He wants some buffs. We're going to give him some buffs.
Did he ask for it? Like, I require more buffs.
Yep, pretty chill, just like that.
Thank you, my friend, they said.
He just leaned in the window. Hello!
Pardon me, but I would like some buffs. All right, real quick. Arthas got, by the way, kind of breaking news. The Arthas skin for his weird Pandaria skin and his the bundle there with the horse or the whatever it is, the mount that he gets, is all that's up in the shop. You can get it now, today. That was part of today's business. However, there's a giant Arthas statue, and it's in China. But I haven't seen this. Bo, what does it look like?
I saw the video. I haven't watched it yet. I assume you guys did.
No, I haven't seen it. I have no idea.
It's on the Battle.net launcher. It's called Forging a Hero, and it's about the making of a giant statue of Arthas. Like, it's literally, like, it's a statue. Like, you know how you see a statue of, I don't know, Abe Lincoln
in
Washington?
Are you about to explain to us what a statue is, Bo? We have them here in America.
Well, but the point of this is not, this is what a statue is. Let me explain it.
Okay.
It's that it's a statue of Arthas.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like, that's weird.
10 feet tall.
Oh, this isn't even, I thought this would have been like Arthas in the Pandaria stuff, but this is straight up Arthas in China, who is the, you know, Lord of the Undead, and that seems to go against the Chinese rules about showing undead people in Blizzard games. Weird. Oh, yeah, there it is.
The good
14
thing
feet.
Arthas kept all his fleshy bits.
Yeah.
But it's his pose, I believe, from the Wrath of the Lich King cinematic, it looks like.
14, looks yeah, when he whips up his sword and gets the little blue dripplings on it or whatever, that's totally the pose. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it looks really badass. It's I don't know. It just seemed insane to me. I don't know where they put it. It's in Taichung City, Taiwan. But I like, is this where their Abe Lincoln would go? You know, is it like near City Hall or near their parliament? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
there's a lot of room in China.
But also weird.
There's, like, there's a lot of room over there. They can...
What Bo is basically asking is, did they put this in Washington, D.C., or did they put this in Detroit?
Right. Exactly. Yeah, is this like, RoboCop or is this, what is this? So it's 14 foot tall. It is 4,000 pounds. And can be found at the Calligraphy Greenway, a tourist attraction in Taichung, China, or Taiwan. You can see photos here, chat room. I'll show you real quick. It's there it is. It is pretty badass. The way his cape is all blown out like that, man, that's really, really cool. I thought it was going to be like the China one because they were trying to pander over there, you know? Like, hey, China, check it out. We went all Chinese with this thing. Nope. And plus it's Taiwan.
China got a skin. Taiwan got... a 4,000-pound statue. I don't know what that says about how Blizzard feels about either of those countries, like which one it likes more. Yeah. I feel like the one that gets the statue, it gets more validation.
Gosh, you think? All right. Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. That's all of that. I think we should play a little of this. Why, yes, it's another edition of Next Separday with your host, Gorath Trebek.
Why, hello there. Thank you for introducing me, Scat. Sure. I'm Gorath Trebek. Welcome to Nexa Property. Nexa Property, Nexio Party.
Sure.
All right. All that. So our contestants today are John Jagger and Scott Johnson, of course.
Hello.
Battling out.
Hi. Hello.
You guys know the rules?
Yes.
We got to flip a coin to see who goes first, or flip a something.
John, got do you have anything handy? You want me to do it?
You flip. I don't have anything flippable.
I have chat room. You can see this. I have... this is the pop toy of Reaper from Overwatch. I'm going to flip him. This was given to me by my son for a birthday gift. It was the nicest thing ever.
Aww.
So I'm gonna, and I have him and 76 looking at each other all day, by the way. Just staring each other down. It's awesome. I have you in my sights. Die, die, die. All right. I'm going to flip him now. Here goes.
All right.
Face up will be heads. You're going to say heads? Okay.
Yeah.
Here goes. It is heads.
Heads. Well, all right.
Heads it is.
Who said heads?
I said heads.
John said heads.
All right, so John's going to pick first. Now, there are three categories, all right? And the categories are Ready Up Already, a known favorite. This is where I say the line of a Ready Up line from the game, and you guess the hero. The next one is Naming Committee, where I'm going to tell you a proposed nickname for a hero, and you have to guess the actual hero.
Okay.
That sounds good.
Abilities, Schmabilities, where the answers are ability names, or the question answers. Again, we're doing 100.
That's not what it says in the notes.
Yeah, the notes say...
Name that Huzzah-roic.
Yeah, Huzzah-roic.
Oh, I changed the name to something better. All right, it is Name That Huzzah-roic. Yeah, oops. Name That Huzzah-roic. Huzzah-roic.
Yeah, huzzah!
I want to make you guys... Because I want to make you guys say that a whole bunch.
All right.
So, Name That Huzzah-roic.
Real smooth so far.
Yeah, so far so good.
Okay, so again, it's $100 to $400. You get an answer right, you get it right. You get it wrong, you lose the money.
Right.
And you can stop me before I finish answering the question by buzzing in with some weird sounds with your mouth.
All right.
John,
I also thought we were only going to 300, but it's fine. Naming committee for 400, please.
400, a naming committee. Okay, Pokemon Pet.
Pokemon Pet?
Pokemon Pet.
Pat. Oh, Pokemon Pat? Hold on.
Who's a Pokemon Beep. Pat?
Oh, Deep. John Beeps.
Who is Rexxar?
Incorrect.
I mean, he's pretty Pokemon. I know typically in Jeopardy, you don't have to sell Trebek on your answer, but for this BS category, he's got a bunch of Pokemon.
All right.
Oh, you lost $400 right off the bat and already upset with the game.
Of course, I'm down for
Next Jeopardy, folks. It's a classic. All right, Scott, you have an answer for me?
I don't. If I do one, I lose $400 too, right?
That's right. Well,
if
you
I'm
also should start with the hardest questions. But
all right, I'll answer it. Why not?
Answer it. Join me.
This is Rhaegar. Who is Rhaegar? Who is not Rhaegar? Sorry. Who is Rexxar is what I meant. No, I really didn't mean Rexxar.
Scott just answered that.
Scott just proved he is not paying attention.
Oh, I thought you said Rhaegar. Didn't you say Rhaegar?
No, I said Rexxar.
This is me confusing Rhaegar and Rexxar twice in the same 5 minutes.
The race to the bottom, folks. And this category was tough, but I thought it would be really funny. The answer is, who is Kerrigan? Because she Pokemons and Turner's pet.
Well, in a 2-1 decision, Rexxar, clearly the better answer.
All right. Let's keep going. Let's keep going.
I'll take naming committee for 300.
Hold on. Can I just say one more thing? Kerrigan pokes people? Is that why it's Pokemon?
Pokemon pet. And pet was gender neutral, so I thought it'd be real hard.
Oh,
be like,
pet. I thought you said pet.
No, Pokemon pet. Like, pet. It's pet, you know?
Oh, shite. Sure. All right. Sorry. Go ahead.
All right. I'll try and speak clearer because I'm Gorath Trebek and I have a reputation to maintain. It's 300. The answer is Axe Chuck and Andre.
Beep.
John, I heard John first.
Who is Rexxar?
Yeah, you got it.
Gosh, okay, it. Wow, eventually. We knew he'd come back.
All right, John, you're still in control.
So far, we've given one answer between three different answers to two different people. I just want to point that out. Take naming committee for 200, please.
All right, Rampaging Renald.
Rampaging Renald?
Rampaging Renald.
Page? I'm so burned by this category. I don't know if I can really commit to it again.
I don't know this one.
All right. 3, 2, 1. Who's the butcher?
Oh.
Heretofore known as Rampage and Reynolds.
He goes on a rampage. Is that part of his time? He yeah. All right.
Yeah. Charges.
This category feels made up.
They don't have to make sense. These are proposals for names for people, right? So it's meant to be comedy, folks.
No, I'm enjoying the hell out of it.
John, you got control of the board still.
Let's destroy this in a fire. Naming committee for 100, please.
Heroin Herbert.
Heroin Herbert?
Yep.
Okay, it's a guy. Hold on.
Heroin Herbert. Herbert's a great name. You should laugh at it. There's somebody in the chat room named Herbert right now. He hurt his feelings.
I have no idea.
I don't know. You made it all up. It's all made up.
Who is Zool? Looks like a heroin addict.
Heroin Herbert.
Heroin Herbert.
Because he looks like a heroin addict. That's amazing.
It is time for heroin.
Oh my gosh.
All right. So, well, that's the end of that category.
No.
For those
of
you playing at home who have racked up also nothing but negative answers, that category was brought to you by both.
That's right. And quick note. It will live on forever as far as I'm concerned because I will always call Zool Heroin Herbert from now on. No question about it.
Yeah, that one's sticking. Yeah. I think by committee, that one won.
That one's pretty good. All right.
I'll take name that Huzzaroic for 400.
400. Fire a large bullet across the map. Scott.
Oh, now
he just realized he has to say the name.
No, I had it in my head. It's what's her name's. Hold on. It is. What is. Oh, shit.
I know you know what it is.
What is massive bullet?
incorrect.
Gosh dang it.
Oh, this game. Okay. John.
I don't know. I can't think of the name.
Blunt Force Gun. The initials are BFG.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, it's called Blunt Force Gun.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Big effing gun. All right.
Well, all right. We learn something new every day.
Yeah.
John, next one.
Name that Huzzaroic for 300.
Damage area and create an army of grunts.
Damage area and create an army of grunts.
I might know this, but I think I'm going to lose a lot of money. Beep.
John.
What is Army of the Dead?
Incorrect.
Dang it.
I
don't think it damages area. I think that's where I
yeah, that part's throwing ran me into problems. That's where it's throwing me off. Damage and area.
All right. 3, 2, 1. What is Demonic Invasion? Asmodan's ultimate where he shoots down a bunch of
Oh, right.
All right. Next one, John.
Name that Huzzaroic for 200. We'll get to the ones I know eventually.
Nearby enemies must dance.
Eek!
Scott.
So obvious. What is, I just sat there.
What is Mosh Pit?
You got it.
Okay.
Scott, you're in control of the board.
Let's do Ready Up Already for 400.
I will not be denied.
I forgot Bo was doing the impressions now. It was great. Let's see.
I don't remember. That could be 10 of them.
Yeah.
400. All right, 3, 2, 1. It's Gul'dan. Gul'dan will not be denied.
I was. You know what? Oh. I was going to say it as a kind of like safe guess, and I decided not to. Gosh dang.
He won't be denied. It's a fact.
All right, Scott, you're still in control.
Let's do same category, Ready Up Already for 300, please.
My blades are yours.
Beep.
I heard Scott first.
Who is Kerrigan? No?
Nope, incorrect.
Shit!
Who is Sonya?
John is correct. It's Sonya.
Yeah.
I was hoping you'd do the thing. Oh,
remember Kerrigan says, wait till they get a load of me. And then the Sonya one has the actual one that would be more appropriate for Kerrigan.
Gotcha.
My blades. Yeah. She's the queen of blades, right?
Yeah.
That's why. All right, John, you're in control again.
Let's get rid of Name That Has Heroic for 100.
All right. Unleashes a flurry of arrows at enemies. Scott.
What is Strafe?
You got it.
Okay.
Bam!
Well done. All right.
Scott, you're in control. There's Ready Up Already for 100 and 200.
I couldn't remember if it was strafing something or just strafe. Like, for a second there, I hung up on it. All right. Sorry. Which two do we have left? We have Has Heroic.
No, Ready Up Already for 100 and 200. That's all that's left.
Oh, let's do 200.
Ready for action. Scott.
I wonder why I say before I say eat.
That's your sound. That's the buzzer sound.
Muradin.
You got it.
Or who is Muradin?
All right. Okay. All right. And here's the last one. Don't break yourselves trying to rush to answer this one. Hail. It's about damn. Scott.
Who is Tychus?
You got it.
Okay.
Man, Tychus is on it.
Yeah.
All right. So, so since both of you scored in the negatives, minus 500, minus 100, in order to play Final Jeopardy, we're going to flip the script, as young kids say, and just turn those into positives. So Scott, all of a sudden, is winning with 500, and John has 100.
Not
wait, this isn't fair.
You know what? John's going to love this rule.
Yeah. Hey, to anybody who thought this game would get more fair for me as time went on, you're wrong. It's not.
I love this.
All right, Final Jeopardy. Let's not waste any time. Right. The category is Haunted Rhymes. We've done this one on the very first Nexus Jeopardy or Jeopardy.
Yeah, it's Jeopardy. That was where we said it different.
Wait, it's Next Opportunity or something. Okay.
Jeopardy.
The answer is maps. You guys place your bets. I think you should bet out loud before I give you the questions, just so we all hear it.
Okay.
So Scott, what are you betting?
I don't even get the category first?
Yeah. Just it's
Haunted
Rhymes.
I do have the category, Haunted Rhymes. Yeah. Okay. And I have 900, 500. What do I have?
You have 500.
You have 500 now.
All right, I'm going to bet 400.
All right, perfect. John, what's your bet? Zero out of spite.
Nothing. I bet nothing.
Scott's giving you a chance to win like a sportsmanship person. Yeah. And you're like, I'm not going to take it.
Yeah, he's not taking it.
I'm going to sit in my ivory tower. Screw you guys, I'm going home. All right.
When you flip it back to negative or whatever you intend to do to ruin my day after all of this is done, at least I can say I didn't dig my own grave.
That's true.
That's
how okay. How do they do it on Jeopardy if everyone's negative? They just leave.
It doesn't happen. People get, you know.
They air it as a better. Saturday Night Live skit.
Yeah. That's right.
Which is basically what this is, folks. Come on.
Turd Ferguson. All right.
So let's go. Here's the clue. The enemy is red. My team is blue. You opened up a portal, so I opened up one too.
Oh, okay. You don't have to buzz for this.
All right. You guys have your answers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. John, let's go first as a contender.
Towers of Doom.
You got it right, and you bet zero. All right, yep. Scott.
Well, geez, I wonder if Scott might get this right.
Oh, yeah.
He's correct. He's clearly did it in the wrong established order. Correct answer.
Well, yeah. Here, you bet zero. It doesn't matter.
I will be honest about what I picked. I picked wrong.
Did you really? I picked
I picked the one, the Diablo one where the guys came out. What's it called?
Infernal Shrines?
I like to Infernal imagine Shrines. That this is real Jeopardy.
Oh,
they showed your little screen and it said the Diablo one where the guys come out. Maybe with a picture of a portal and a couple of dudes walking.
It's Infernal. I was going to say Infernal Shrine, so that knocks me down to hunt. So we tied.
It's a tie game.
What happens then? Nothing?
Well, there's no winner this week.
I know.
Good time doing it. That's the important
thing. I know
part.
What happens. When you tie, you come back and you try it again for the next time.
All right.
Same two guys come back, even though that was going to happen anyway.
We'll be back.
This is amazing. It's my favorite segment of all time, everybody.
Thanks for playing.
Another segment I like a lot is where you guys give us your feedback. We have an email this week at core@heroesforyou.com. You can also leave us voicemails, 801-471-0462. That's 801-471-0462. Questions, comments, thoughts, whatever. We'll take them all. Keep them short. Keep them interesting. We might read it or play it on the show. Here's the email from Paul Sherbfen. Does that look right? Sherbfen.
Does it look right or does it sound like you're pronouncing it right?
Well, it says S-H-E-R-B-F-E-N, Sherbfen.
I trust that they could sign their name correctly. So I'm going to trust that it's written correctly.
Okay, well, if that's true, phonetically, it looks like Sherbfen. Anyway,
Sherbfen
says, don't you guys think it would be really cool if Blizzard gave you a casual little time waster game to play while waiting for cues in the game? Like Bejeweled type overlay, or even that game, that Lost Viking ship shooter thing they had in StarCraft. Just something, anything, Paul Sherbfen. Yeah, why not? Like, they're long queues, especially when you're trying to play a new character and everyone else is too, and you're, you know, just burning 600 seconds waiting or whatever. I wouldn't mind having some little dumb thing to play. Like some little silly on-screen thing. But then again, I think a lot of players are on a web page checking something out with their build or... Like, it's not like we don't have other distractions in our lives and that you're locked into just staring tunnel vision at your screen until a game pops.
I go around and look for great podcasts and video content that's Heroes related and others to watch. Such good things as on frogpants.com, where you can find many shows to watch.
Wow, that's fantastic.
And then you can listen to it while you play the game because podcasts are great that way.
Yeah, and then you can be like a half a second before the draft ends and choose the character of the person that it's already on your team. That's how that all happened. I don't know. I mean, John, what do you want to do? Do you want to dink around for that 10 minutes or however long it takes sometimes?
Yeah, I mean, I usually use that time, I feel like, in a productive way. But if they had a fun little mini game, I would do it. Even if they just did a, we're going to give you just kind of a blank space field to play the character. You can maybe right click, use your abilities, see what they're going to be prior to the actual match starting. That could be fun.
I think Diablo style match 3 legendary gems game. Just overlay that on top. Let me match up a bunch of gems. Try to have a nice little score. Have the game state saved between games. So if it pops in the middle of it, it just pauses where I was at. Next game kicks back in. I'm right back to it. Something like that.
What if they did that, but you were just playing like Diablo 1?
Oh,
like just actual Diablo 1, and it just constantly saved your save state?
Yeah, just give us random enemies in a dungeon and kill stuff and drop gold and loot, and you don't have to go back to town or have any story. Just like a little grind. I think that'd be amazing. Oh my gosh, that's a great idea. We should do that. But we like your idea there, Paul. I don't think they're ever going to do it unless they open it up to modding. That's possible if they do that, which is exactly what happened to Warcraft when it had the mod to play the little Bejeweled thing. And same thing happened to a lot of StarCraft stuff where you could play weird mini games, although they weren't designed to, play while you were flying like in WoW. But in this game, I wouldn't mind a little something like that. That'd be fine, especially for streamers and stuff, because you just sit there like we're going to play Heroes tonight. And when we look at those screens, it's just going to be waiting, you know. I mean, we're gonna talk and we're gonna have stuff to say or whatever, but it'd be something to play. And if it was multiplayer, all the better. Like, what if it was like a little, you know, like Worms, or like what was the game Worms was based on, where you shoot tanks across the screen at each other? Couldn't you have us all just like have tanks in different places and take turns trying to lob a grenade at everyone and win. That'd be cool.
Oh man, that'd be so cool. Yeah. Like Heroes of the Storm mini worms game.
Yeah.
Where they're all like little tiny cartoony versions of the characters and you're just shooting rockets and stuff at each other.
Yeah, like little, just make them all different colored Rainers. That's fine. And have them, you know, launch a little rocket at each other or have different weapons to choose from. Something like that. Oh man. Someone in the chat says no one would ever go back to playing Heroes. Well, good point.
It's possible. If we had a really good Heroes Worms game to play, I might say, hey, what if we just finished this?
I love a good Worms game. Huge, huge fan. Anyway, thanks, Paul. And anyone else who may email in, core@heroesforyou.com. Once again, 801-471-0462. A quick reminder slash note. Next week, in fact, the Rally Point podcast, which is the official esports podcast of the Bleacher Report, over at bleacherreport.com/esports, starring myself, Brian Huff, and Seven. That's right. If you want to know more about Seven, you tune in to learn about him, okay? Go over there, subscribe early to the show before it actually hits. We're going to hit the ground running. It's a esports podcast entirely focused on the subject of esports across all kinds of games. And that side of it is where the focus is. It's all on esports. Gillyweed is coming on. She's going to talk to us there and hopefully this show. Been trying to arrange that. This one happened first, but we're trying to get her here as well. So we're trying to just fill your lives with Gillyweed. What?
If she visits on the show, I promise to prepare the next Nexepri to end all Nexepri.
Oh, man. May scare her away. She may never come back. We'll have to see. Oh, my headphones stopped working. Hold on. What happened?
Oh, now's our chance. Now's our chance to talk about Scott.
That's really weird. Why
Scott,
is it?
He's so bad at Heroes?
I like it. I think it's fine. I think it's okay, but for some reason I can only hear myself.
I was just explaining to John how I thought you were a really, really great player.
What did I do?
Oh, he can't. Can he still not hear us?
He still can't hear us.
We can outro the show for him, right?
Or, now I can hear you in one. I can hear you in one ear all of a sudden.
Oh,
what the heck happened?
So is it like we're just whispering to you all the time now?
I don't know what happened. It's freaking me out. All right, well, I'll fix it later. I can hear you in my right ear, and that is weird. I don't like that feeling at all. It feels like I've gone deaf.
Just pretend we're telling you a secret.
Psst, all right.
Scott, wait, can you see both? Can you see both your 76 and Reaper toys?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not them that are up to mischief. It's like all of a sudden they're gone and they're shooting it out underneath your computer tower.
I tell you, this is the only show I ever seem to have technical problems on, which isn't true if you've heard my other shows, but I'm just going to say it. Well, anyway, I'll figure that out later. In the meantime, let's get out of here. Thank you all for being here. It's lovely to have you. AlphaGeekRadio.com does a simulcast of this show. Big thanks to them. Join us in the game / join Frogpants in Heroes of the Storm and play with some of your friends, with us, and whoever might show up in there. core@heroesforyou.com is the email address once again. On Twitter, find us at coreheroes, John_Jagger, Scott Johnson, and Bo Schwartz. All one word, that Bo Schwartz. It's going to do it for us. For me, for John, and for Flip the Numbers, Bo Schwartz. We'll see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.